Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are squaring off tonight in their final debate before Election Day, with both candidates spending nearly the first half hour of the 90-minute face-off focusing on the coronavirus pandemic. Biden noting more than 220,000 Americans have died and saying anyone responsible for that many deaths should not be president.
This is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter, and he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year.
Trump countered by saying he expects a coronavirus vaccine to be announced in a matter of weeks, and the president said the shutdowns cannot continue.
Democrats all, they're shut down so tight. And they're dying. They're dying. And he supports all these people. All he talks about is shutdowns. No, we're not going to shut down, and we have to open our schools.
Candidates were also asked about the matter of national security, including the issue of possible foreign election interference. Tonight's debate is on the campus of Belmont University in Nashville. Researchers at Columbia University estimate more than 90% of COVID-19 deaths could have been avoided if the U.S. had intervened in the pandemic more aggressively. Member station WNYC, Fred Mogul has more.
A team at the National Center for Disaster Preparedness looked at the policies and demographics of the U.S. compared to other high-wealth states. The death rate here has been twice as high per capita as in Canada and 50 times higher than in Japan. Dr. Erwin Redliner, the lead author of the soon-to-be-published report, says the U.S. could have prevented between 130,000 and 210,000 deaths if the federal government had acted more like its international peers.
There's no reason why we couldn't have done what Canada did, what Germany did, South Korea, Japan, and so on.
Redliner said the main differences include testing, contact tracing, and mask wearing. For NPR News, I'm Fred Mogul in New York.
U.S. authorities say Russian hackers have targeted dozens of state and local government and aviation networks in recent weeks. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
The advisory said Russians had successfully compromised some government networks and stolen data from at least two of them. But U.S. officials say there's no sign that any government or aviation operations have been disrupted or election information compromised. The warning comes as millions of Americans have already voted, and there are concerns that Russia could try to disrupt the election by sowing doubt about the results, even if hackers are unable to alter the votes. Indeed, it's highly unlikely that hackers could change any votes. The latest advisory comes a day after federal authorities said that Iran was behind threatening emails sent to Democratic voters in Florida and other states. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 152 points. This is NPR. A first in terms of an antiviral medication to treat those hospitalized as a result of COVID-19. The Food and Drug Administration announcing today it's approved the drug remdesivir to be administered via IV to those 12 years or older. Gilead Sciences, the maker of the drug, is calling the medication Veklury. A large study in the U.S. found administering the drug cut the time it took to recover from COVID-19 by around 5 days. The drug, which works by inhibiting a substance the virus uses to make copies of itself, has been authorized on an emergency basis since the spring. A year after an uprising against Lebanon's political class pressured him to resign as prime minister, Saad Hariri is in that post again. Nana Homsey has more.
Prime Minister-designate Saad Hariri vowed to quickly form a new cabinet. But the task of government formation is not so simple. The previous designate, Mustafa Adib, faced political hurdles when he attempted to install a cabinet of independent experts and resigned when challenges became insurmountable. Lebanon has seen nearly 3 months of political deadlock after a massive explosion in Beirut's port killed around 200 people, causing violent protests which took down the previous government. If he succeeds, Hariri's cabinet would be tasked with pulling Lebanon out of a deep economic crisis and placating a popular movement against Lebanon's political establishment. This would be his fourth term as prime minister. For NPR News, I'm Neda Hamsi in Beirut.
Crude oil futures prices moved up amid some progress on U.S. stimulus measure, though there is no deal yet. Oil closed up 61 cents a barrel to end the session at $40.64 a barrel in the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.